Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I will be joined by NBA champ Richard Jefferson and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry shortly, but they're not the only guests stopping by today. Coming up, I sat down with Luka Doncic ahead of his Christmas Day primetime matchup with the Lakers, spoke a little bit about what it's like to be the odds-on MVP favorite in just his third season. Stick around for that. But first, I want to welcome in our special guest, Commissioner Adam Silver. Welcome back to The Jump.
Thank you. By the way, those highlights were pretty good for two nights so far.
Yeah, not bad, the NBA. It's been such a quiet 24 hours, really, Adam. I was worried we wouldn't have enough to talk about, but let's just jump straight in with James Harden, because you guys decided to fine him $50,000 for violating COVID protocols earlier this week. And then this morning, ESPN reported James will have to isolate for 4 days total, but he will be available for the Rockets' next game, which is Saturday. Now, the 4 days was determined by the league's medical experts, but above and beyond that, you guys could have decided to suspend him. Why fine instead of suspend?
The precedent is that discipline gets ratcheted up, and it's Christmas. It was a first offense. Frankly, to your point, the $50,000 is the limit of my authority under the collective bargaining agreement. And what would have happened? I mean, in a way, he got lucky, because if the game had taken place last night as scheduled and he were unavailable because of his own actions, he would have missed a game and a paycheck. And so it would have, in practice, you know, and ultimately have turned out to be a much larger sanction. But a little bit of luck there, I'd say also. We're just beginning these protocols, and I it seemed fair in the first instance, but it's Christmas.
Certainly appreciate your holiday spirit. And I understand you have discretion here. It's not the first time in even just the past couple weeks, though, that Harden was very visibly partying in clubs without a mask. And I know the first time he hadn't reported to training camp yet, but he was supposed to have. It's not that camp hadn't started. Every other Rockets player had to abide by COVID protocol rules that same week. Why didn't you consider James to be under those rules at that time?
He wasn't, because just as you said, he hadn't reported to training camp yet. I'd only say, Rachel, I think that anyone's who's in a position of meeting out discipline as I am can't succumb to frontier justice. I mean, I understand what Twitter would like to see happen here, but union, there are rules, and my job is to follow the rules. I mean, in this case, putting aside prior conduct, this was a first violation for James under these new protocols. And as I said, it was the limit of my fining authority. It didn't seem appropriate to suspend him for that act alone. And as I said, had the game been played and he had been out because of that conduct, you know, the required quarantine, he would have missed a paycheck. And so, as I said, we're learning as we go.
And look, it's a thorny, complicated situation, not just for the league office, but for the Rockets themselves. It's been a rocky month overall in Houston. I know James has not publicly come out and said the two words, trade me. But regardless, I just want to know how you feel about one of your most high-profile players, a guy the Rockets are paying more than $500,000 each and every time he plays a game, so publicly and repeatedly acting against the best interests of the team.
Of course, my reaction is guys have contracts, they should honor them. And to the extent that there are disputes between teams and players, they should be handled behind closed doors. I mean, look, this isn't the first time you've had a star player who's expressed dissatisfaction with some aspect of his situation. I mean, it's been part of this league since its early days, but now everything gets amplified because of social media, digital media, the job that you and your colleagues do. So we recognize that, and it's not what you want to see as part of the league. And, you know, you hope that James will bear down and be a professional, and he'll honor, you know, to the T every aspect of his contract. But these issues need to be worked out. And I think it's now, of course, been compounded by this most recent violation. So it's a highly unusual time, and I think we have to take that into account. But you also count on everyone settling down now that regular season has begun again, and focusing on basketball.
Yeah, I mean, we did have those great highlights right at the top of the interview, and last night was the first full slate of games of the season. It was unfortunate that on day two, basically, Thunder Rockets had to be postponed because the Rockets didn't have the minimum eight players required to proceed. Can you just take me through what yesterday afternoon and evening were like for you as the league's medical group sorted all this out?
We're following, as you said, a panel of doctors and scientists, and this is really... There's an aspect of this that has nothing to do with discipline, because as we all know, I mean, there are violations of our rules, but then there's also living life outside of a bubble that we were in this summer. And if you're living your life just like every other American, whether it's because you have children in school, mm-hmm. partners that are going to their jobs, or for that matter, going to the grocery store, or visiting relatives, there's a chance that you're going to get infected. So we recognized going into the season, I said it, that we knew we were going to have cases. And just as baseball saw cases and the NFL is working through those cases now. And so once, you know, there was a confluence of a bunch of circumstances. There mm-hmm. was this high-profile violation, but then there was a series of incidents at the team, some involving violations, some not. And at the end of the day, our medical professionals have to go player by player and look at the particular situation of each player. Obviously, if someone's infected, that's a quick decision to isolate and separate them. But then there's the contact tracing, and then there's a question of what other players or team personnel did that infected person come in contact with, and that takes time. And you know, one of the real difficulties in our league, unlike the NFL, of course, is we're playing essentially every other day, mm-hmm. so there's not a lot of time to work through these issues. So that's what yesterday was like, and also say that we're. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to learn as we go. I mean, just as you recall, Rachel, having been down in the bubble, we started with one set of protocols, but then we continually adjusted them as we were learning more. And I think it's going to be the same situation here. And it may even mean that with our Players Association, as we go, all these rules have to be negotiated, but we'll sit down with them and say, all right, these aspects aren't working. And I can say to a player, everyone wants this to work. You know, I've said before, people want to work. Right. NBA players want to work. Everyone in our system, we account for tens of thousands of jobs. I mean, it's not just the players and the coaches. It's our broadcasting partners like yourself. It's those in the arenas. Even when the arenas aren't open to fans, it takes hundreds of people to stand up these arenas for every game. Six arenas we started with fans in. So it's you know, we're a huge industry. And we recognize that trying to operate in a pandemic is difficult, but we'll work through these issues in a way. I mean, you never would have liked to see what happened on the second day of the season, but there may be a bit of a silver lining, and that is it's really refocused everyone's attention. I think we were all so used to operating inside a bubble. I think there may have been, you know, for a lot of the people involved, sort of just a sense of safety that can exist, and everyone has to recognize that. You know, I keep telling people, wasn't the test that kept people safe in the bubble, because we're testing daily now, just so we did in the bubble. What kept everyone safe were the quarantines that were required before you went into the bubble, and then all of the requirements once you were there. Playing outside of a bubble just, you know, presents a host of different issues, and we're gonna, unfortunately, just gonna have to learn as we go here.
I can't even imagine how many times your phone rang yesterday. Do you have a count there for us? I mean, it must have been pretty crazy leading up to that moment of saying, okay, let's postpone.
Yeah, I'd only say, you know, no count, but in addition, obviously, I have a fantastic group of colleagues who are working through these issues with me, you know, in many cases literally around the clock, because of when test results are coming in, because follow-up on situations, dealing with team personnel, their doctors, our doctors. And so, I think it was, for all of us, a wake-up call, not that we didn't know it, but it's especially until we're at a point where there's vaccinations available to people in our community, and that's probably a ways off. Every day is going to be presenting new issues.
I want to switch gears a little bit, because you were asked earlier this week about the possibility of expansion, and for the first time in years, you didn't shut the door on it. Adam, you know the glee you caused in Seattle with those comments. I will ask you, how likely would you say expansion is in the near future?
Well, I, you know, what I said, honestly, was not all that different than what I've said in the past. what I said is it's inevitable that we'll expand at some point. And when asked about Seattle specifically, you know, Rachel, I, of course, was in the league when the Sonics were in town. You know, we didn't make a secret out of the fact that we hated to leave Seattle, but at the time we left, it was clear that Key Arena, the then Key Arena, was not at NBA specifications, and there were no plans on the table to build a new arena in Seattle. And that was whenever, 12 years ago or so. Now we're at the point where there is a new arena, in essence, you know, a rebuilt Key Arena mm-hmm. that's come online, NHL team going into Seattle. So one, you now have the state-of-the-art arena that didn't exist back then. And I'd say in terms of expansion, it's been a long time since the league expanded. It's not on the front burner. I mean, we're not about to expand at this moment, as you can imagine, just as to your earlier things that are occupying us around the clock. Expansion is not on the top of the list, but it will, we'll turn back to it at some point. And I've said, you know, we loved when we were in Seattle. We've had incredible fans there, incredible, I think, 40-year history of having a team in that market. And there's no doubt there's enormous support there. So at the right time, you know, I think the team owners will turn back to that issue.
So, Adam, you got to help me out here. If I'm going to place a bet in Vegas on whether there's going to be an expansion team in the next 5 years of the NBA, how good should I feel about that bet?
I can't even believe you're talking about waiting on this show, Rachel. That's all I'm going to say.
Never, never, not in this establishment. All right, the All-Star Game gained a lot of momentum last season in Chicago due to some of the great rule changes, right? That Elam ending was so fun. Playing a game this year seems extremely complicated given all the COVID protocols. You've officially given up the hotel rooms and arena reservations in Indianapolis. So what is the plan for All-Star this year?
There is no plan at the moment. I mean, again, because we knew coming into the season, we're going to be learning a lot. As you know, because we knew there might be some disruptions in the season, we split the schedule in two halves, which is something we've never done in our history before. So we have a schedule through early March when the natural break would come in our season, not the All-Star break that had previously been planned earlier in February. So as you said, we gave up those hotels and those dates in Indianapolis. So now we still have an opening potentially to play a game. We'd absolutely still love to play that game. I know the players would as well. Our plan is to still go forward and select All-Stars. I think that's very important. And we'll see. Again, one thing I've learned throughout this pandemic is it's virtually impossible to predict even a month ahead. You know, as you know, before we went into Orlando for the bubble, we had the lowest case rate in Florida, then we had one of the highest when we got there. Now we're dealing with what seems like a new surge in cases, and that, you know, and that was not something we obviously knew at the point we planned to restart this week. And I think, you know, fingers crossed on the vaccine. That is, as the vaccine gets rolled out and we start to see, you know, societal adoption of the vaccine and the ability to bring more fans into buildings, presumably at the point that it's appropriate for players and coaching staffs to get vaccinated, that'll happen as well. And so it may open up possibilities by March that I can't even contemplate right now. So we're going to turn back to that, but right now we're just holding the dates.
So Adam, earlier this week, you said it was your expectation that players would stand for the national anthem. What has changed since the bubble in that regard? And how will the league react if a player still does choose to kneel?
What's changed since the bubble, of course, in Orlando, in a unified fashion, players, coaches, referees chose to take a knee for the national anthem. And throughout the preseason, we had one game in which players kneeled during the preseason. So far in the regular season, all the players have stood. And it's my expectation that players will stand for the national anthem. I mean, it's been part of the tradition of this league since the early 1980s. I recognize that there are appropriate times for protest, which is why the league, in essence, stood down this summer. On the other hand, you know, I number one, it's awkward to be put in a position to force people to stand for the national anthem. Obviously, that's a failure to start with, if that's ultimately where we are. But number two, I'd say I think it's an important tradition as part of this country. And we've come through a very difficult period where the country feels very divided. Obviously, those tensions haven't gone away. So there's very few things that collective moments where we all can feel we're unified. And I think the national anthem is one of those moments. So it's my hope that our players will continue to choose and that this tradition will remain part of the league. But again, I, you know, this is something that We've discussed with the Players Association. It's become part of our collective bargaining agreement right now. And so if there were ever going to be changes, it would be something we'd need to discuss together. But at least for me, you know, especially as we go into these holidays, I will say that it moves me to see people standing in unison for the anthem. There's these very few moments in our lives when people can come together, and it's my hope that our national anthem will continue to be one of those moments.
Well, this is certainly a time of year we need as much coming together as possible. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Happy holidays. I hope your phone tonight rings a little bit less than last night and that you get to enjoy the season with your family. We really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, as always, for all the coverage.
Thank you. All right, coming up, guys, we're going to discuss the best-case scenario for James Harden and the Rockets. Richard Jefferson and big shot Robert Horry are going to join the show to discuss. Stick around. You're watching The Jump. Welcome back. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside Richard Jefferson, and we are thrilled to welcome seven-time NBA champion, big shot Robert Horry to the Jump family this season as an analyst.
That's a picture. He didn't want to go for eight, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Robert, welcome. We love you. You've been here as a guest, but now you're officially part of the family.
Yeah.
Thank you.
High fives everybody.
Finally someone that's respected on set from a player standpoint.
To balance you out.
Yeah. 100%.
That's really what's important for us. You guys just heard my conversation with Commissioner Adam Silver. We talked about the James Harden situation. Robert, what has been your reaction, my former Houston Rockets friend, to Harden's initial trade request and, frankly, his actions since then, which led to a $50,000 fine yesterday?
You know, he's been very fortunate that the Rockets have sort of bent over backwards for all his requests, so he could be returned that favor. And he's going out and being, as everyone is saying, unprofessional. And it's kind of disappointing in the sense that he doesn't realize that he's looked upon as a leader of this team. Not just a leader of the team, a leader of the NBA. So people are eyeballing him and want to say, hey, how are you going to handle this situation? There's so many times that athletes want to say, oh, I don't want to be here and have situations a la me and having a situation with Danny Ainge. But, you know, you have to be professional. I hate how I handle my situation. But for me, it ended up really great. It brought me to the Los Angeles Lakers.
And I won
three championships.
What?
But with him, you know, that's been done. So he needs to be calm and says, because he has to think like this. It's hard to trade me because I asked for the max contract. I'm making $40 million. And in this day and age, you just can't go where you want to go when you're making that much money.
Yeah, no, look, that's a great point. And I'm so glad, growing up in Phoenix, I'm glad that you're going to throw the towel throw. No, because look, we as players, every player down the line has done something that you're like, okay, that was a mistake. That was unprofessional. Myself included, everyone has. Like, that's just part of doing it for an extended period of time. But James is not helping himself. He's just not. I don't care what he says. I don't care what the beef is. We know you want out. The Houston Rockets are shopping you. So your best thing that you can do right now is be as professional as possible. Or else it's going to take longer to get you out of there, right? Like, you don't have to be a model citizen for Houston, but you do have to be a model citizen as far as, like, how the league is viewing you to make this trade easier.
Yeah, and look, I think his trade value is still going to be high enough. He's James Harden.
Yeah.
He's been top five in MVP the last 7 years. Players like that just don't become available. But that being said, you do have a responsibility to your teammates, right? John Wall, Boogie Cousins, James Harden, they have no beef with each other, right? They like each other. They're friends.
Yes.
And at some point, you are making these two guys in particular who are finally getting back into the NBA after extremely grueling injury rehab not get off to the start they deserve, frankly. And I wish I could see a little bit more accountability between teammates. Just because you have special privileges as a superstar,
but that's not, but that right there is not special privilege.
Well, no,
that is just being an ass. Like, that's just like what you're doing right there, given all of the things that are going on, everything that our country is dealing with, everything that's going on in our sport. Like, this was the first game that is now postponed. Like, you're being an ass. Like, what you did in Vegas, okay, that's fine. You're here now, that's fine. But then you then go out. You're not allowed to go to these places. You know the rules, and it doesn't matter if you behave like this. They're not going to allow this in Miami or in, you know, Philly or
anywhere.
Any other place. So
anywhere.
Why do it now?
All right. We will keep discussing. Up next, it's also, you know, a make or miss league. We've got the videos to prove it. Robert Horry has like 100 of those. Stick around. Catch up on the most memorable moments from the first full night of NBA action. Stick with us.
Woo.
All right, it's time for another edition of Something, Nothing, or yes, folks, everything. The Bucks-Celtics game last night, living up to the hype. Giannis had 35 and 13. Chris Middleton had 27 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists. But the Celtics prevailed thanks to Jaylen Brown. He was a monster in this game, 33 points. And Jason Tatum, 30-piece, including, oh yes, he called game, the bank shot game winner over not just two-time MVP, but Defensive Player of the Year, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, Richard, is Tatum and Brown's combined 63 points last night, remember, no Kemba Walker for a while, something, nothing, or everything?
I think it is something. I think it is something because you wonder when you're missing Kemba Walker, that's a 20-point-a-game score, when you don't have Gordon Hayward, who was an 18-point-a-game score, where are we going to pick up the slack? And you know that Jason Tatum and you know that Jaylen Brown are improving. They're still young, so they're still improving. So to see them come out against a very good Milwaukee team, a very good defensive and like a veteran team, and go out there and give them, you know, 60 ball, that means that they're going to have enough offensive firepower to kind of, you know, withstand this little break without Kemba.
I definitely think it's something. It reminded me of the big three that the Celtics had. And I'm throwing Rondo in there, and now you take Smart and put Smart in the mix.
Okay.
You got big three right there. Who needs that other guy? Who needs him? Let me get more shots. I know what Brown's saying. Brown said, because we know Tatum get his, but Brown's like, who needs that guy? Let me get more shots.
Okay.
We like Kemba. I like Kemba.
I like Kemba
him
too.
On that team.
But like, who needs him right now?
But I'm Jaylen. Look, Danny Ainge said a couple years ago after Kyrie left, he said, Danny said, I blame myself for what happened with Kyrie. He said, I crowded the roster too much. I didn't think about it in the same way. Those young guys now certainly have room to operate, and they went for it last night. All right, let's move on to the Wizards and Sixers. Doc won his first game as Sixers head coach. Embiid scoring 29 points. He snatched 14 boards, guys. Bradley Beal still looking good, 31, even in the losing effort. And what Russell Westbrook, see if this is a surprise. A triple-double.
In
shocking,
three quarters.
Right? And just in three quarters. Robert, was Westbrook's triple-double in his Wizards debut something, nothing, or everything?
This was everything because here's a guy that people said, you know, went to Houston, didn't work out in Houston. How are you going to be on another team? He's going to be Russell Westbrook. He's going to be a triple-double machine. And I think it's going to take some time for the guys to understand who he is, and they're going to run the floor with him, set up in the corners for three, because we know Russell's going to attack that basket like he always does. And this is something to me because it's going to make this team a lot better and a lot more scarier.
Yeah, now understand, I think that this is something also because this is no disrespect to John Wall, perennial all-star. I think Russell Westbrook is like a better version of him. Triple-double, same type of intensity, gets out on the break, gets everyone involved. And so I think with Russell there, and he's been healthy for the most part over the last 5 or 6 years, which was an issue for John Wall. So I think having him out there with that squad, with Bradley Beal, they were very, very close to winning this game. It came down to the last 30 seconds. So I have the Wizards as a playoff team this year.
Look, I grew up in the D.C. area, and it's with so much pride I tell you that in franchise history, no player had ever had a triple-double in their debut on opening night. It's a rich history, guys, let me tell you. All right, the Hawks, so he did it. The Hawks blew out the Bulls 124 to 104 last night. Atlanta had seven players in double figures with Trae Young leading the way, 37 points. The Hawks set a new franchise record, 83 points in the first half. Robert, is the Hawks 83-point season opening half something, nothing, or everything?
I got to say nothing. It's the Bulls. Come on, man. It's the Bulls. You know, this is not the Bulls with Michael Jordan and all these guys. This is the Bulls who don't know if they're coming or going right now. Yeah. Because you got guys that don't want to be there. You got guys trying to figure out who they are. It's just a system right now. New coaches, you know, small preseason. This is the time they're trying to figure out who they are, what they wanted to be. And basically, they have no identity. And we know by looking at the Hawks, these guys can score. They have a really prolific scoring team. But this is the Bulls at the end of the day.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's something, only because I think the Hawks need to get off to a good start, right? They got to get off to a good start, establish themselves. You don't want to go 0-5. You don't want to lose to the Bulls and then have a tougher schedule go on. So beat the team that you're supposed to beat if you want to make the playoffs. So you look at with Gallinari, with Bogdanović, with all of these guys, that's going to open things up for Trae. You can't load in on him. You can't double team. And then all of a sudden you see his efficiency go through the roof. And so I think it's a something because it gets them going in the right direction, letting them know who they're going to be.
I'm clapping there because I love the vet mentality. Robert is like, I've seen everything. I've done everything. Let me tell you, nothing. All right, coming up, you'll see my conversation with Luka Doncic, who is set to make his Christmas Day debut in our marquee ABC matchup tomorrow. Don't make a move. We'll be right back. All right, guys, I sat down recently with one of the headliners of our Christmas Day quintuple header, Luka Doncic. Asked him about being the MVP front runner in Vegas, only his third year in the league, and his expectations for the Mavs this season. Check it.
God rest ye merry, gentle Mary. God rest ye merry,
Doncic looking for that dagger.
Gorgeous move from Luka Doncic. What can he do?
Luka, this is your first Christmas Day game in the NBA. What are you looking forward to about it?
Oh, yeah, very excited. No, this is my first one, and we play the Champions. That's why I'm excited, too. So it's going to be a fun day, fun game, because a lot of people are going to be watching. So I hope that it's going to be a great game.
Do you have a favorite Christmas memory from growing up?
When you were a little kid, the presents you got, I think that was my favorite part in the morning. So I couldn't sleep.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
So this year, instead of getting presents under the tree for Christmas, you are getting the defending champion LA Lakers. The first time you played LeBron James, you were only 19 years old. We've seen the picture of you standing outside the locker room waiting for him to sign a jersey. So much has changed since then.
And obviously, I remember the whole first game was very special. You know, it's something I remember a long time.
Luka for the tie, he got it!
Now he's way different than the first game, you know. First game against him, against the Lakers, so it's obviously different. But I think now it's like, it's still special, but you know, you just, different situation, you're just trying to win.
Yeah, good luck to you too.
Yeah, well, keep getting better.
LeBron recently made an interesting revelation about you. Take a listen.
Luka is one of my favorite players in the NBA today. When Luka was going through his contract negotiations with Nike, I wanted to begin Team LeBron and have Luka as my first signing. And I don't even know if Luka knows this, but he will know it now. I want him to be my first guy because I just love what he stands for. I love everything about him.
A couple of my friends sent me that. When I saw the video, that was the time I learned about that he wanted to do a LeBron team and be the first signing. So I didn't know it before. So they say, like, this is pretty, pretty special.
He's got to get new brakes on the car after that step back by Luka.
You have one of the greatest to ever play the game fawning over you. You have shoe companies fighting over you. You have the Mavericks team built around you. You never seem to show the pressure that all of that brings. How do you manage that?
I mean, as I always say, you know, there's been pressure since I was a little kid. I don't know, but I think I learned through the road when I've been since Madrid. I mean, as a little kid, I had pressure, I think. So I think you just grow there, you learn game by game, practice by practice.
No face, no case.
You recently won a bet with one of your teammates, Jalen Brunson, over a video game challenge you guys had. Can you please explain to America what happened?
So we played FIFA. The bet was, if you lose us, you gotta wear a Cowboy jersey. Because he's an Eagles fan, you know.
It wasn't just that you made him wear a Cowboys jersey. Luka, what did the nameplate on the back of the jersey say?
Luka's son. You know, I had to put some fun in it, you know. Make me proud.
What a performance. That's legendary stuff right there. Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer.
You were phenomenal in the bubble. In the playoffs against the Clippers, you had that double overtime 43-point masterpiece. But you guys still lost the series. What did you take away from that?
It was my first playoff series. Fun basketball, a lot of emotions. I'm proud of what we did back there. We fought and, you know, we gave everything that we could.
Luka Doncic is going to win the MVP.
He will be the undisputed best player on that team.
You and I have talked about the fact that you want to win MVP. It's one of your goals. Las Vegas odds makers have said you are actually the favorite to win MVP this year. Do you think that you can do it?
I think I can do it, but, you know, that's not my first goal. Far from it. You know, it's great to see that. My goal is always win a championship, you know. That's, I think, not just mine, the whole organization goal. And, you know, hopefully some days we can achieve it.
All right, up next on The Jump, Richard Jefferson, Robert Horry are going to make picks for each and every Christmas Day matchup. Thanks to Luka for joining us for that segment, by the way. We'll see if he's one of Richard or Robert's picks. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, Richard Jefferson, Robert Ori. It is time to preview our Christmas Day slate tomorrow with the game pick edition of Jump Ball.
Let's go.
First up, first game on the slate, Pelicans Heat. Robert, we'll start with you. Who you got?
I got the Heat. You know, everybody's talking about the Nets. They're talking about the Celtics. You forgot, these guys went to the finals. They want some respect. What better day to do it than Christmas Day? My boy Jay Butler's going to show out. You know, I'm ready for this game. Show them what you're talking about, Jimmy Butler.
You know why I'm not picking anybody? Because I'm calling this game, and I don't want any of these teams' fans, all of my mentions, talking about I suck and I can't call a game just because I picked the other team.
I mean, that's probably going to happen anyway.
I know, but I want to give them ammo. Why give them ammo?
All right, so we'll leave that one. Absolutely. All right, next up, let's go with Warriors-Bucks. Milwaukee, a double-digit favorite in that one. So, Richard, I don't know if I should ask who you got or by how much.
Well, this is the thing. If Draymond's playing, I really want to see Draymond. I don't
he's
know
not
how.
Playing.
Well, he's not playing, then I don't really see the Warriors winning this game. I'm going to say the Bucks. Look, the Warriors, you see, they need all hands on deck. Without Klay, they need Draymond. They need all of these young players to kind of step up, but I'm going to go with the Bucks.
I'm going with the Bucks also. I think Giannis is going to come out and try to redeem himself after missing that tight free throw.
Tight.
He's going to come out and redeem himself. And right now, you're looking at Steph. Steph needs some help. I know Wiseman's a young prospect. And he's learning the game, but Steph needs some help. And I say the Bucks by 30.
Bucks by 30.
Okay, then. Let's move on. Nets Celtics. Caesars William Hill expects a close game. The Nets only favored by 3 on the road. Robert, who you got in this one?
I'm going with the Nets. I just think, you know, KD is going to try to expand on what he did last game and show everybody that he's back. And then Kyrie is the second fiddle, which is wonderful to see because what second fiddle is as good as Kyrie right now? And this team is just on a roll, and I think they're going to show some people around the league and put them on notice.
Yeah, look, it's all about health for the Nets. It's health and then chemistry, very similar with the Clippers, you know, kind of dealt with. As long as they can stay together, look, you got two of America's most wanted in the same place at the same time. They're about to feel this. Watch.
Okay,
with
so
the
does
sage
he,
and everything.
With the
well,
sage
that's
and everything,
question.
So Nets.
Does he said he wants to do this in every arena, provide good cleansing spiritual energy. He's already done it in Boston Garden. Does he need to do it again on Christmas Day? How does that work?
I don't know how this works. And right, really, it's about whatever your pregame ritual is. Go ahead, step up. Tell us.
Nah, funny, because, you know, the first time I ever seen this done was Phil Jackson. Christmas
Great.
Day, he came in the locker room with the Lakers, was like putting this in front of everybody's locker room. He's like, is that weed? I'm like, what is that? You know, so, you know, Phil Jackson's the first person I saw. We won that game, so who knows?
There you go.
Yeah, see, so everybody's making a big deal about Kyrie. The sage has been done before in arenas
Phil
by
Jackson.
One of the greatest coaches of all time.
Let's talk about the Mavericks because they got a tough Christmas ticket, the defending champion Lakers, the marquee game tomorrow. Richard, are you taking the Mavs for the upset?
Lakers. Lakers. No. Look, Luka is must-watch TV. He is going to be one of the best players in this league for the next 10 years. But without Porzingis, Anthony Davis, they just didn't add any real firepower. So I just think it's going to be a Lakers show as long as they show up.
I think so. I'm going with the Lakers also. I think if you watch this team, the Lakers are still trying to figure out who they are. They had some four pieces that they really need. And right now, if you watch Luka play, is Luka really in shape right now? He doesn't look like he's in basketball shape. His wind is not there, and his body's a little fluffy. So
I think that's just his body type.
Fluffy?
Yeah, he's not fat. You're fluffy.
Technical term?
Yeah, you know, it's like James Harden was a little fluffy. You know, Jokic was a little fluffy last year. You know, some guys are fluffy.
Body shaming on this show.
Yes, there is.
Let's talk about the nightcap. Clippers visit the Nuggets in a playoff rematch. Robert, Richard is very excited about this game. I want to know, the Nuggets coming back down from 3-1 on the Clippers in the bubble. How much grudge are we seeing in this grudge match?
Revenge. I know it's not the same team. They're missing some of the key guys that went over to the Lakers. But I think right now, the way Paul George played in that first game, it's going to be a carryover. And plus, we talk about Paul George's points, but Kawhi came out, played with some aggression. So I'm looking forward for these guys to go out and play hard. And I'm not even going to talk about Ibaka, what he was able to do. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, look, I'm going to say this. I think the Clippers, I love the Nuggets, but they're going to miss Jeremy Grant so much this year. Trust me, you're going to see it over the course of the season. Love Porter, love all the talent they have. Jeremy Grant fit with them perfectly. The energy, the hustle, the defense, could score without calling plays for him. So he's going to be one of those guys that they're going to be talking about missing him all year. So I think that Denver's not going to be at the same tier that they have been.
I think Denver's going to miss the fans too, right?
A lot.
I mean, this is a game where you could get some juice, right, out of that. And unfortunately, not going to be in the building. All right, this just in at the buzzer. Oh.
What?
Our senior coordinating producer, Amina
Hussain.
Oh,
look at the young Amina.
She is moving on to another opportunity after 17 years at ESPN. She has overseen NBA Countdown, the NBA operation out of our LA office since 2012. She has done wonders for the jump as well. I'm emotional thinking about this. She is so respected around the league in our office. Magic Johnson asked her for a job here at ESPN during his press conference when he resigned from the Lakers in 2019. It is hard to put into words how important you have been to our group, Amina. So many years.
I'm happy to be Amina's last hire. Thank you, Amina.
She hired us.
Thank you.
Amina, I love you. I owe so much to you. Good luck with everything. Brian.